I really wanted to do this workshop, but I wanted to explore it in three different facets. One, obviously, emunah, to have the emunah. Two, to understand how we, the nurturing of parents, how they grow up, how it affects what they look for, how it affects how they write their shidduch, resume, and really who they're looking for. And the most important thing that I see with a lot of these kids that come into my office is they lack a bit of self-esteem. They lack a bit of self-esteem. So I'm going to start off with, you can't hear me, even with the mic, you can't hear me.
Okay.
Come close. I'll keep the mic close. Do you hear me now?
Yes.
All right. I'd like to start off with just a saying, and I'm going to put in a lot of stories, a lot of thoughts, a lot of analogies, because I want to drive this thought home in a nice way. So there's a saying to develop healthy relationships. If you respect me, I will hear you. If you listen to me, I will feel understood. If you understand me, I will feel appreciated. If you appreciate me, then I know you. I have your support. If you support me as I try new things, I will be responsible in all our endeavors. When I'm a responsible adult, I will be independent and connected to you. If I'm independent, I will respect and love you all of my life. I think in dating, and I think what kids, children, need to look for is someone who will give them respect, someone who will communicate with them, someone who will allow them to be independent and to rely on each other. Then love will evolve. We did the OU did a marriage retreat during the summer, and I was lucky enough to do one of the workshops there. And one workshop which they asked me to do, which kind of got asked to do, was the workshop. Oh, was the workshop on self, on intimacy. I said to Frank, "How can I do a workshop on intimacy?" So what they did was they separated the men and the women. So I began by talking about intimacy on a very simple note, and I will show you what that relates to dating in Shidduchim. It was at a hotel. I was at a hotel once where I spoke, and we went to the to eat. Went into the restaurant there, and there was this man who had just turned 100, and his young bride of 98 was sitting next to him. And I remember sitting next to him and watching this. And the waiter came and brought the wife, a piece of cake. And the wife turned to the waiter and said, "Give it to my husband." And the husband took his hand, shaking hand, and he cut it in half and he gave it to his wife. That's intimacy. And that's the things when kids grow up and they see things like this, then they know what to look for in a shidduch, in a date. Because from what I see, what children look for, I'm scared. Because I have a lot of young kids that come to me once they're married and they say to me, "I didn't know him. I didn't know he was like that." And I have a lot of, sadly to say, a lot of divorce work in young marrieds with young babies. So I'm coming here, yes, as a therapist. I'm coming here as a mother who also married her children, and I know how you feel. I'm coming, I think, as Jew to Jew to try to show you what I see in my world in therapy, and you don't need to know. You know as much as I do. There's no biblical code to crack on dating. I think it is to teach children healthy relationships, but I think we need to teach society some healthy relationships. I will love to answer any of your questions. I just want to go through this.
Can I just preface one thing in the video? I'm really sorry, but I love what you're saying. I see from what you're saying, if you have ever heard, I'm sure you have, somebody, rabbis or rabbis, medicine, you don't start with what you should find in a marriage, but that the woman is there to serve.
Well, I'm getting into that, and I'm very much on your... I agree with you.
What they're hearing from their rabbis and medicine.
Well, that's, I agree with you. And if I have that opportunity, I will.
You've got to start there because they're preaching to these kids, making them feel guilty if they go against.
You're right. But where are we going to start? I think we started with parents. I don't want to start with parents. I'd love to start with community. And we will. Have them do it, and I will be there, even in another snowstorm. What I want to do is, I want to, before I even begin, I want to make or to involve the three facets. If we look at our kids as diamonds, you put a diamond on a setting and there are different facets. If you're going to set it correctly, it's going to glow. It's going to have value. If you don't set it correctly, it could be a very expensive diamond and it won't have value. Part of it, and I do agree with you, and I'm a big advocate of what you're saying, and that's a very big part of my speech of what you're saying. But another facet is, because I do see in my office how kids are nurtured, and that's part of it. And I know I'm not speaking to you, and I know you are the ones I don't have to speak to. But part of kids looking for shidduch, they're looking for certain things. Part of it is how they grew up, where they're from. Part of it is society. A major part of it is society. And another part of it is, and I see those tears when they come into my office, is what they think about themselves. I hear them. I hear, and I'm going to read you, as I go on, a profile that I pulled up that kids, our gorgeous children, have to fill out in order to have that resume, in order to attain a date. So, yes, my speech is geared around what you're saying, but it's also geared in other facets. Take what you will, don't take what you will, but I'm doing this with my heart. I'm trying to show you every aspect of what I've learned. All right, so part of it, there's a saying, what lies behind us and what lies before us are tiny matters compared to what lies within us. That's called self-esteem. Lots of these children do not have that inner strength. You have to be able to have the self-esteem to deal with the world. This is the world, and not be defined by it. When these kids have it, and not have to worry about pleasing, whether it's parents, and I got plenty of those, or pleasing society, when they have that inner strength, they could deal with the world and not have to be defined by it, some girls / anorexia nervosa. So I do see that. So there's a saying, before you can govern others, you have to be a master of yourself. I'm not talking about governing others. I'm talking about before you can have a relationship with others, you have to have a relationship with yourself. An emotional healthy kid is going to find a healthy relationship. This is the way it is. If you find a mate, if your child finds a mate who's one who gives, he's going to love Ahava. Hav is the root of Ahava. And yes, I am a mother too. I am talking to you that way too, but that's what we have to learn. Look for someone who's going to respect you, give you attention. I pulled up some clinical studies. Some clinical studies of how, think about your own marriage. Think about how you relate to your spouse. Think about what kids see in your home and how they are. And I'll give you another quick example. At that marriage retreat, after I did the workshop on intimacy, a beautiful young girl stood up and raised her hand. And she said, I want to hold my husband's hand in front of the kids. But it's usa. It's forbidden for me to hold my husband's hand in front of the kids. But she said, we did that. I asked my husband to do it, and he said no. Rabbi Twersky said something very profound and very wonderful. We're so afraid to hold our husband's hand in front of the kids, we're not afraid to fight in front of the kids. We're not afraid to fight. It's good when a child sees that love in their home. This is what they look for. This is what they want in a mate. Yes, society does do that. I agree with you. But that's not the only facet that's holding that diamond together. I'm going to read you these clinical studies. I didn't write it. They're longitude studies. And just listen. If someone grows up with parents that are very critical, that child slash adult is going to feel that parent sets high standards that's impossible for that kid to obtain. As an adult, that child will seek perfection because they feel inferior. They will be very critical on themselves. This is a study. Now, that child, obviously not in this audience, that grows up with a critical family, what kind of shidduch do you think this child is going to look for? Do you think they'll marry anyone that they meet because they're afraid they can't meet anyone else? They're not worthy. How about a child who grows up with a significant loss? Now, these are studies. That child feels abandoned. He grows up with a feeling of emptiness. That child will look for, become very over-dependent on a particular person. What type of shidduch is that child looking for? Forget society. That child is going to look for someone who they'll be able to become attached to. And I see many kids marrying men 10 years older than them. That may not be the reason, or that may be the reason. I don't know what their past was. Parents that have alcoholism, or it's in the house, and that happens in the house. These children slash adults, thank you, grow up in a chaotic home. They grow up denying their feelings. What kind of shidduch are they looking for? Parental neglect. It happens. I see it every day in my office. These are parents, not you, but there are plenty of these kids that your kids date, are very preoccupied in themselves. They're very preoccupied in being their friend instead of mentor. These parents, kids, fail to give them enough attention for their basic needs. And these kids slash adults seeking a shidduch feel worthless. They will choose a shidduch, anyone. Overprotectiveness. Parents who are very overprotective on their kids that will protect them against the world. Those children will be afraid to venture out into the world. They will seek a shidduch, a person who's going to protect them. They will not feel independent. I see it. Most of us, including, I know my own too, the spoiled child, the child who has everything, the child where there are no limits, they grow up to that bored, they lack persistence. Nobody could gratify them. Nobody could do what their parents did because they've gotten everything. What kind of shidduch are they looking for? You got to teach your kid, your child, my own. Explore your past. Understand the present. And that's the society of today. And learn for the future. I'll give you three aspects. Kids that are dating now. Yes, they do have to have good self-esteem. But lots of these children are under social pressures, emotional pressures, and physical pressures. Let's start with physical. I have girls that come into my office that need to be a size 2. Because if you're a size 2, you will get a date. How many girls come into my office with eating disorders? Why? Because who will date them? It doesn't work on the shidduch world. How about a young boy? A young boy who has all the things on that shidduch list that you need. He's scared. He's scared on 2 points. And I'll tell you one that comes to my office. He said to me, I'm scared I won't be able to meet up to my father-in-law. Will I be able to support her the way she's used to? I'm scared. So I won't look for that type of girl. What about intimacy? One boy said to me, I'm afraid to touch her. I'm afraid. I never saw that in the house. I never saw that look in the house. On paper, I'm the one. I know the community thinks I'm the one. How am I going to live up to what the community thinks I am? So yes, a healthy relationship does work, but we have to understand as parents and more as society. And if you feel that society is not doing the right thing, you verbalize it, you say it, you get together. That's why we're here doing this. That's why we're here doing this. I'm a believer of emunah. I am. I believe that, and many people believe, that if one truly believes that a soul, that we all have a soulmate, that everything was preordained by Hashem, sense of calm happens. It says in the Talmud, it says 40 days before you were born, the daughter of so-and-so is destined to marry this person. This is your bar shert, a match made in heaven. One plus one is one under the chuppah. But does that mean you sit around and you wait for him to come? Does that mean you sit around and do nothing? No, you need to do something. Rabbi Akiva said, everything is known to Hashem. The only thing is, we, man, has free will. We have free will, and that's what ruins it. I know a boy and a girl who met at the Kotel. They met at the Kotel and they got married. The only thing is, for years, they lived in the same building in Manhattan. They never noticed each other. Never noticed each other. There's a saying, a man went to a rabbi and said, why is it that I never met my soulmate? And the rabbi said, you did, but you passed her up because she had a long nose. Man's free will sometimes ruins it for us too, because we have a certain criteria of what we want. There's something called love and beauty, and the aspect of Cinderella. And the saying is, do I love you because you're beautiful, or are you beautiful because I love you? Society, the world out there, teaches us that you need to love those people that are beautiful. Hollywood stars are beautiful. But the Torah says that you need to look for someone that's praiseworthy, that has qualities that don't wash away. That doesn't mean we shouldn't try to look beautiful. We should. Tell the bride at a chasana, you look beautiful. You're supposed to do that. You're supposed to try to look your best. And it even says, there's a parallel story that I read, Sara Imenu, when she found out that she was having a baby, she laughs and replies, I quote, after I have withered, shall I have delicate skin? Sarah thought, will Hashem make me look young again? Sarah wanted to look young and beautiful and have firmer skin for her husband's eyes. But Sarah was beautiful. And you know why she was beautiful? Because Abraham loved her. And that's the difference between beauty within, emanating beauty, and Hollywood Cinderella beauty. Esther Youngrice said, Ahava, if you add it up, is 13. The sum of the values of the word echad, one, is also 13. Love means oneness. We need to, and I believe me, I sat in the same seat you're sitting in. I'm not talking as only a psychologist. But if you teach them to fall in like with each other, you will fall in love with each other. If you fall in love with each other, it's lust. It's passion. It's not real. If you think about it, we always had shidduch problems. Wasn't Avraham concerned about his son? Didn't he send Eliezer to look for shidduch for his son? What did he look for? You think he felt different than we felt? He felt the same way. But he sent Eliezer to look for beauty. And the beauty that he sent him to look for is kindness. Half. And this is really the point that I'm trying to tell everyone, is that if you can help your children to understand who they are, I can't change society, you can't change society. We could try to change it together, we can. But the best thing that we could teach our kids is really to have that self-esteem and emunah and go out there. You know, there is a story of a woman in my office, just to show you how nonverbal behavior is very powerful. in her house, and again, this doesn't belong to this, but it's just something that's diagnostic, and I want to show you how what goes on at home really has an effect. Kids hear what you say, but they're going to do what you do. How it affects who they look for. I had a young girl that came into my office that just got married, and her husband called her, and he said he was going to be late on the train. She called me up, and she said, he's having an affair. Why is he having an affair? He's having an affair. I know he's having an affair. She came into my office. She sat with me, and she said, when I was a little girl, my father was having an affair, and he would call my mother up and say, I'll be late on the train. My mother never said a word. All I saw was the tear in her eye. That's all I saw, and that has had a profound effect on me. So I think he's having an affair. Obviously, that has nothing to do with shidduchim. What I'm saying to you is how we look at our child, what we say, really reverberates down to their neshama, believe me. I do tons of IQ testings, all in many yeshivas. If I tell a parent, this is your child's weakness, and that parent rolls her eye at that little child, whether it's first grade or high school, that child will not feel worthy. And that child comes back to me and says, you're stupid. So I make it my business. I try my hardest to tell that parent all the strengths that that child has on that IQ test and to embrace the weakness. None of us are perfect. Only Hashem is perfect. If you understand that your child should look for someone who is imperfect, they'll find someone. They will. And that's what I'm saying. I cannot explain society. I've looked up little tips from different rabbeim on things to tell you that steps for a harmonious relationship. I'll read it to you. But I want you to understand this is not a biblical code to crack. These are thoughts that have to be embedded into them. And if you embed emunah, I believe it. If you embed emunah, it works. I'll tell you a personal story. My own daughter, took her a long time till she met someone. And one day, my son, and I'm saying this on tape, and I hope she forgives me, went to shul. It was Rosh Hashanah. Just to show you how I believe in emunah as a mother. Went to shul on Rosh Hashanah. And he went into this yeshiva, and there were a bunch of boys there. And he said to these boys, come to my house to eat, because they were going up to the room. There must have been 20 boys. It's Rosh Hashanah. And the boys said, how could you go to your mother's house now? She'll have no food. My son said, you don't know my mother. So my son, you know, comes to me, goes, Ma, I brought a couple of boys over to eat. Do you know what I said? And I mean that. I mean it with all of my heart. I went to the boys and I said, I have a chance on Rosh Hashanah to do a mitzvah. Please, please come in. You will see Hashem will stretch the food. The boys are sitting around. And one boy looks at my daughter and wants to go out with her. But they were too young. Now my daughter had her qualifications, blonde hair, blue eyes, no jeans. He has to sit and learn. So one boy said, I have the boy for you. Okay. He walked in. Olive skin, big brown eyes, and jeans. And she looked at me and said, Ma, doesn't he have blonde hair and blue eyes? He is the most wonderful husband I could have ever davened for. And that's called emunah. Yes, society does put pressures on us. They do. But we have to have emunah. I'm a very big believer. Now, I know this is on tape and I'm probably in trouble, but I wanted to tell you this from a heart to a heart. So some of the 13 principles of a harmonious relationship, be understanding. Make sure who you date, look for those qualities. Is he understanding? Can he listen? What do I mean by listening? I'm taught how to listen as a therapist. You hear, you understand, you validate. And you could agree or disagree. That's fine. But you validate each other. Does this date, is he respectful to her? Is he sincere? Does he have a good character? Is he supportive? Is he supportive of her? Does he empower her independence? Is he kind? Is he gracious? Fall in like before you fall in love. Could this boy or girl be a good friend to your child? Because you're going to be friends forever. Can he love her? I used to tell my own children, love your spouse more than yourself. Then I know you love each other. Then I know you love each other. Don't love yourself more. If you love each other more than yourself, I've davened for everything. Rabbi Miller said, 10 commandments of dating and marriage. Focus on loyalty. Focus on loyalty. Again, there's no biblical code to crack. Tell your child, when you look for someone, could you wake up every morning together and be his friend? Could you see yourself growing older with him? Can you share highs and lows with him? Think of your own spouse. Is he or she your best friend? Learn to agree to disagree and trust each other. Trust each other. And that's a very important thing. There's a young girl that came into my office. I'll tell you another story. Very sweet girl, and she was set up with this boy again on the resume. He was it. He got an A on every point. He was good looking. He was good looking. He was rich, very rich. He was a nice kid. He really was a nice kid. But she didn't feel friendly towards him. She said to me, he's a wonderful guy, but I don't have that friendship feeling to him. So she asked her parents, please, I know the whole community would love to have him. I don't feel friendly to him. I don't like him. I don't like him. Walking down the aisle, and she was my client, she turned to her mother and said, Mom, I don't like him. You're going to learn to like him because he's everything that's good for you. So she married him at 18, and she divorced him at 23. And she brought her boy in to my office, and I saw him, and he wasn't so good looking. And he wasn't rich, but he was her friend. She would say to me, with the first marriage, when he turned the key in the lock, her stomach would turn. And when I said to her, what are you looking for? She goes, someone just like him. He's a great guy, but he's not my friend. That's what I'm saying. That's what you look for. That's why I'm not so thrilled with these resumes. I love to go back to the Torah. It's all there. It's all there. It's not in any psych books. It's in there. It said Yaakov worked for Rachel for 7 years, and in his eyes, it was a few days because he loved her. He loved her. And when Rachel switched because she felt sorry, and for her sister, her heart hurt for her sister, so her sister married him. He said, I will work 7 more years, and he didn't feel it. Yaakov loved Rachel, and it wasn't passion. He loved her qualities. He loved her friendship. He loved her way. He loved her. He loved her. There's a saying, that is inner beauty. That's the real beauty. There's a saying, what is a man that you should remember him, and the son, case studies, of a man that you should be mindful of him? You should be mindful of the case studies that I read to you. And I didn't even read all of them to you. You should be mindful of men, but you should understand. Yet you made him but slightly less than the angels, and with a soul and splendor, you have crowned him. That's in Tehillim. That's in Tehillim. That's what you look for. No one is perfect. No one is perfect. Now, this brings me to the point that my friend in the audience said. That does hinder relationships. I'm in agreement with you, and I'm going to read some things that we need to try to fix. But it's not only that. Before someone meets someone, you have to have a shidduch resume. I have myself gone to meetings where parents have gotten up with the 8x10 glossies of their kids to try to see that they could get a date. Society seems to focus on the external world and not on the internal world. Okay? So I went online to a resource center and I said, let me look up what these kids have to write on their profile, on their shidduch resume. And this is, I'm going to read to you from most important one down. I'm going to read to you what was said online. Number one, post a picture. Number two, don't post a blurry picture. Number three, smile, look like a positive person. Number four, get yourself looking best. Make sure there's a lighter background before you take that picture because you're going to look better. Five, I didn't hear anything about midot yet. Did you hear about character yet? Because I didn't hear anything yet. Five, have friends review your picture, not your character. Six, describe yourself. And you should write, I'm a nice, sweet, and friendly. I love meeting new people. And large gatherings excite me. What if large gatherings don't excite you? This is what you should write. Seven, don't post an incomplete profile. You must finish it. Eight, be honest. Nine, differentiate your needs and your wants. 5'9", a learner earner. Post what you want. 10, don't make your wish too long. 11, and my favorite, if you're overweight, don't write that you will accept someone who is overweight, because that's a double standard. Do we need to write this on a profile? Is this what we should be looking for? I pulled it offline. This is where I get those gorgeous, gorgeous girls that can't be a two, that can't find a date. 12, be realistic about your age ranges. 13, and very important, spell check. Spell check your resume. 14, list references of people that you know well. List those references. Down at the end, which is important, finally character came in. Number 15, questions that you should write on your profile. What am I passionate about? What are some of the things that people think about me? When they see me, what do they think about me? What are my strengths? What am I proud of? What brings me happiness? And what are the goals in life?
Did you pull it off the Miss America file or the Shidduch file?
I pulled this off the Shidduch file, and that's what these kids have to deal with. So to develop healthy relationships, I agree, to develop healthy relationships, A, personally, emunah, B, self-esteem, because you have to deal with the world, not be defined by it. Independence, you have to be a little independent. Find someone who will give, hav, the root of ahava. Romance versus reality. In that packet I gave you, I have a thing of myths, and you could look at it after, that I found fascinating. If you check more than three of those myths that you're looking for, this is something that we need to look into. Independence. Teach your kids to have independence. Are you in love with love? Real love is the process of getting to know someone. Are you in love with the fantasy of the person, or are you in love with love? And again, I went back to the Torah and I said, okay, how do I make, a comparison to that word? In the Garden of Eden, Adam said, and I quote, this is the flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone, and she will be called woman because she's taken out of me, man. This is the original falling in love. But after she did the sin, and after there was tension, and after they needed to work, there was a breakdown in their relationship and they need to work on it, what was said? That to work for oneness, love started. It was said, he is Adam and she is Eve. Now they are different. Now they are independent. And now they need to begin to work together. And it says in the Torah, and Adam knew his wife. What comes from the heart reaches the heart. Mozart. What comes from the heart reaches the heart. A healthy attitude towards finding your shidduch. Cherish the relationship. Appreciate every human being you go out with. Friends, my favorite. Remember four golden words. You listen, you hear, you understand. Does this boy do this for you or girl? You validate each other. You could agree or disagree. It's not a problem. But then you negotiate, compromise, repair, and gratitude. Gratitude is very important. Establish strong boundaries. I always tell kids when they say, well, he doesn't really meet everything on my shidduch thing, and she doesn't meet, go out. Go enjoy. Have a cup of coffee together. Enjoy the pleasure of meeting people. And then you won't do it. And Mark Twain. I'm going to go to Mark Twain. What did Mark Twain says? Good judgment comes from experience. Experience comes from bad judgment. So it's very important that we learn today. How does this person make you feel? Can you feel better? Does he make you feel like a better person? Nobody is perfect. I'm going to tell you one more story, and then I can go into a couple of the tips of self-esteem that I think is important. This is a story about a girl that I know. I know her. She's someone that I know very closely. I'll call her Leah. When Leah was born, she was the firstborn. It's a true story. But they wanted a boy, and they got a girl. And the parents were disappointed because they had a girl. So Leah started off her life being a disappointment. Okay, studies. Parents neglected her. She felt worthless. So she came to me and she said, Ruchi, I want my mommy and daddy to like me. I know they don't pay attention to me. What could we do to make mommy and daddy like me? This is 30 years ago. She wasn't bright in school. She had a learning disability. And 30 years ago, it's a big thing. So she started to clean her room and help her mom. But mom didn't like the way she did it because she just didn't do it right. Case studies. Well, she grew up and went to an all-girls yeshiva. No one paid attention to her, so she went to the pizza shop across the street. Guess what? The boys paid attention to her in the pizza shop. And there's a saying, every human being craves appreciation. It felt good. She used to tell me, it feels good. I know it's us, so I know I'm not a talk to the boys. It feels good. My parents are disappointed in me. I'm not smart. I'm a girl. It feels good. Well, what happened? The school found out that she is talking to boys. So the school called her parents in. And I know her. This is not a made-up story. And they said, you got other children. This is bad for the shidduch of your other kids. She's a bad girl. What are they supposed to do? They're in a dilemma. If they keep her home, they're going to ruin the shidduch for the other kids. So what did they do? They sent her upstate to a school where she ran away. They're in trouble because their name is not a great name. Who's going to want them? So they imported another bad boy from Israel who was also trouble for that family, and they married them. And they married them. I'll never forget that. And she would come to me and cry, am I that bad? What happened was she built up her own self-esteem and she started to believe in herself, and she divorced him. She divorced him. She moved to Israel. She went to yeshiva. She came back and she married someone who on the shidduch list is a winner because he's a doctor. Who would ever marry a doctor, someone like her? Not that he's a doctor, but on the resume, that's an A. She married someone that loved her for her imperfections. But the point was, she was sent away because her parents feared they'd ruin the shidduch of her siblings. We need to open our eyes. We daven every morning, pokeach ivrim, sight to the blind. Yes, we need to open our eyes. We need to open our eyes on how we interact with each other. We need to open our eyes on society on the shidduch list, which upset me. We need to open our eyes, and personally, in emunah, in davening. I really believe, davening helps. It really does. But we need to do our hashtalas. We need to do our work. We need to understand what pressures that these gorgeous, gorgeous, wonderful kids go through, and they do. So I just put on the handouts a couple of tips about good self-esteem being and really just inculcating that into yourself. How do you feel about yourself? To learn someone who will love you. Accept your imperfections. I teach that on IQ tests. None of us are perfect. Be able to date someone who is imperfect. Remember, the man couldn't find his shidduch, and the rabbi said, you know why you didn't find her? She had a long nose, but she's imperfect. Beauty is inner beauty. Stop measuring yourself against other people's standards. Appreciate the other person's point of view. Seek a partner who will allow you to be independent and dependent. And basically, that's what the healthy relationships are. It's facets of life. It's facets of our internal world. It's facet of external world, and it's facets of teaching our children that that's what we must do. If any of you feel a certain way about how society treats it, then what we all must do is change it. I know it's different, and I know I need to speak to everyone, but the point that I'm saying is one of the facets is us. At this intimacy workshop, one woman. My parents don't sit in front of each other. They don't. But I always knew when my mother was going to the mitzvah. You know how? The way she looked at my father. I saw what love is. That's what you look for. That's what you